This is the Pacifica Elections Committee meeting on May 17th, 2022. And I am the interim chair for the meeting, Carol Wolfley, and we will now begin by having the roll.
Thank you, Carol. This is Myla Reason, interim secretary for the Pacifica Elections Committee, and now I'm going to call the roll. Teresa Allen from KPFT.
Present.
Bert Cohen from WSCA. Not hearing Bert. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs from WPFW.
I'm here.
And Violetta Diamond, also representing WPFW.
Here.
Thank you. Donald Goldmacher, representing KPFA in Berkeley. I'm not hearing Don Goldmacher. Dee Dee Halleck, representing WBAI in New York. Not hearing Dee Dee. William Hairwagon, I heard you earlier. Are you still with us?
Yeah, present.
Great. And Avalia Jones, I believe I heard you as well.
I'm present.
Thank you, Avalia. Mike Lewis from KPFT in Houston.
Yeah, Mike Lewis is here.
And Mac McPherson from KPFT in Houston.
Here.
Did I get that right, Mac?
I heard him. He said hello.
I did not.
I may have been in between signals. Are y'all talking about me?
We are indeed, and I was wondering if I got your name right. This is Myla. Is Mac McPherson sufficient?
It'll get me every time.
Great. Thank you. And Michael Novick, the chair of the KPFK Local Station Board?
Yes, present.
And Sean Rhodes from WBAI.
I am here.
Thank you, Sean. Minerva F. Sanders from WPFW in Washington, D.C.
Present.
Thank you. Akio Tanaka from KPFA in Berkeley.
Aki is not here.
And Carol, our esteemed interim chair representing KPFA in Berkeley. We hear you.
I'm here, yes. Yeah. Okay.
We have quorum.
Thank you, Myla. Next, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Michael Novick, so moved.
Is there any opposition?
Perhaps you should read the agenda for this stream.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I said perhaps you should read the proposed agenda for the stream.
Yes. Number three is approve agenda. Number four, approve minutes. Number five, Pacifica election update. Number six, election timeline. Number seven, cost-saving proposals. Number eight, funding proposals. Number nine, nominations. Number 10, email coming with names of nominees. Number 11, adjourn, time certain, 9 p.m. Eastern time or before. So I'm not hearing any opposition to the agenda. The agenda has been approved, and I would like to ask if anyone is willing to be a timekeeper for the agenda, and also if there's that same person or another person who would be willing to be a timekeeper for speakers. And I believe we had a two-minute time for speaking. Is that correct? So anyone be willing to be a timekeeper?
So you're saying it, no more, 2 minutes maximum for each person that's speaking?
Yes. Per speaking, I mean, we can come back around.
I will try.
Okay.
Teresa, I'm very challenged at that, but I'll try.
Okay, and is somebody willing to, who has a copy of the agenda in front of them, willing to do the timing for the agenda?
I can do that, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Okay. So next item is approve minutes from April 5th and May 3rd. We could approve them both at once, or we can split them. Is anyone?
Let's do them one at a time, Madam Chair. This is Teresa.
Very good. All right. April 5th, 2022. And those have been sent out previously and are included with the agenda. Is there any proposed changes to the minutes, or do I have a motion to approve?
I move to approve. This is Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. Is there any opposition to approving the minutes?
No.
All right. Hearing none, the April 5th minutes are approved. Moving on to May 3rd. Is there any...
Teresa Allen,
do I have
to approve May 3rd?
Thank you, Teresa. Is there any opposition to approving May 3rd minutes? Okay. Hearing none. Giving a little pause.
Approved without objection.
Yeah, approved without objection. Thank you. All right. Moving on to 2022 Pacifica Elections Update. Teresa, would you or any of the other Pacifica National Board members want to help give us a little update on what happened at the National Board meeting regarding the elections?
I can say there was a motion to postpone the motion that came out of this committee to have a fundraiser for the election until we discussed the timeline. And then when we went to discuss the timeline, they moved to send it back to this committee for this committee to come up with a timeline.
Thank you. Do any of the other National Board directors, Vanessa, Avalia, Sean, I think you're any ones I'm aware of, have anything else you want to share about what happened at the PNB level?
This is Vanessa. So that is not, please correct me if I'm wrong, someone who has a better memory of this than I do. I don't remember that outcome. I remember the motion being defeated. So I don't recall, and like I said, I could be wrong, that the matter was referred back to us to come up with a timeline, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. What,
Sean,
go ahead.
Sorry to disagree with you, Vanessa, but what Teresa stated was accurate. That motion, the motion being looking at the timeline, was referred to the Elections Committee, and part of that included looking at funding, the funding issue.
Okay, then I stand corrected. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. All right, let's delve into the heart of the matter, election timeline proposal. So there is in the agenda some notes about a possible election timeline, and I would like to read it. Direct all station managers to get their membership records up to date for listener members, volunteer staff, and paid staff. They should also keep their these records up to date on an ongoing basis. This is needed for multiple reasons, not just for delegate elections, and is essential for effective fundraising, member renewal, reminders, grant proposals, etc. So immediately begin fundraising using on-air announcements plus emails to the station databases to pay for delegate election by June 1st, 2022. Hire a new independent and impartial election supervisor who's not connected to any Pacifica faction or delegate. By July 1, hire a neutral NES assistant and or LESs. By July 1 to April 1, prepare election cards and election materials, forms, and procedures. Coordinate with station staff. August 1st to 31st, candidate nomination period. September 1st to October 16th, verification of candidate eligibility, preparation of ballots, posting of candidate information. October 17th, send out ballots, voting information. October 17th to November 21st, voting. And then November 22nd to December 9th, ballot tabulation and certification. December 10th, seating of new delegates. So November, yeah, yes.
William Hairwagon, when was this communication sent, and is that an email?
This was put together by some of the people on the committee, just going in, looking at what would be possible for a timeline. And at the bottom of the agenda, there's also an old timeline about what happened in 2018. If that is helpful for people to, see how that 2018-2019 election went. So
when was this sent?
Yes. So what I'd like to do is open it now for discussion. And go ahead, Myla.
I believe that our committee member, William Hairwagon, asked when it was sent. And this particular possibility is included in the agenda that I sent out earlier today twice. And the subject line of the email has in brackets PNB Elections Committee, and followed by agenda for this meeting. So you'll find it attached, not attached, but actually embedded in the text of what I sent to the entire committee twice today.
Vanessa, to the stack, if Mr. Hairwagon is finished.
No, I'll just, is there a particular time that was sent?
6:29 p.m., second one. 6:29 Eastern was the second time it was sent.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Who was it, Vanessa?
Yes. So Mr. Hillrigan asked a good question. As you said, someone said, several members of the committee participated in formulating timelines. And the rest of us, I'm not seeing it until now. I don't know if that's true of other people. It wasn't sent until today. It's a lot to consider and to process this new proposed timeline, assuming there would even the committee, proposes having an election as compared to the old timeline. There's a lot of information to try to process within this time frame. So those people who did not participate in the process of developing the timeline are very much disadvantaged. If it were a simpler matter and a perhaps less important matter, then we could, process the information quickly. But it's a lot. It's quite a lot, especially comparing two different timelines, et cetera, et cetera. So really think maybe we can start the discussion about it now. But in all fairness, everybody on the committee should have had more time than sometime earlier today. And for those of us who are just receiving it, to consider such an important issue.
Okay.
And one at a time. I heard Teresa. Who else?
And this is Minerva. Minerva to the SAC as well, please.
Teresa.
And Michael.
Minerva. Michael Novak. Who else? Teresa, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Vanessa. Yes, you're right. It is a lot. It is a lot of work. So it was a collaborative, you know, people just kind of went through past director NES reports and just pieced it together. So, yes, we're just going to have to start it. I did just send out the I just sent you the copy of Susan's motion, which we passed on May the 5th. So, you know, fortunately, some people were better organized than me to start working on this and to come up with a proposal. So I'm glad we just have something. And I had a chance to read it yesterday. I think it went out earlier this what
yeah,
was
I sent it yesterday. I sent it yesterday.
So I read it yesterday. But I'm at an advantage because somebody said, hey, have you read it? And I think it's doable. So, yeah, let's somehow, somebody maybe can propose a piece of it that we can go with, that we can start discussing.
Chair, point of information, please.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Can you share who worked on this, since it evidently was not sent to all members of the committee to get their input? Who did work on it?
Well, I know that Aki Tanaka worked on it because he is a past secretary of the PNB, and he knows about the timelines. So I think he's the person who I was in communication with.
So it was basically Mr. Tanaka.
Well,
I don't know who else.
To it.
Yeah.
This is Teresa.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I think the main thing we want to look at is, I mean, it takes a certain amount of work. Oh, I'm sorry. Minerva, go ahead. I'm putting myself on.
Yeah, I was just waiting. And I guess for me, being new to the election committee and trying to find out how things work, the first thing that comes to my mind is this type of a document, maybe a request should have gone out to each one of the stations to see if they had someone to put on a committee to work on this. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And the second part of my question is, does this election have to take place this year? Has there ever been a time where they delayed the election, which would give us time to work with the stations and the Pacifica board to come up with ideas to fundraise for one? Is this the first time ever that we're delayed in doing an election and they've not looked at maybe setting it to go for next year or the year after? I mean, I'm just asking because, again, I'm new, and I'm trying to figure out why would we rush if we know Pacifica doesn't have money to do this election? And I'll be quiet and wait for answers.
Madam Chair, this is Myla. I had also asked to be recognized and on the staff.
Okay. Let's see. Michael Novak is next, and I have your name down, Myla. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. I agree with Minerva that it would have been helpful to have circulated the draft well in advance to people from each of the stations so that we could all have that input. I do want to call people's attention to the bylaws, Article 4, Section 5. It's the section on delegates, and that's the article is on the delegate election, and Section 5 is about the election time frame. So I think we should try to stay within those limits set in the bylaws. There is a provision there for postpone the elections, but that would have had to have been done by November by the PND. So it's not clear. I think we have to try to come up with a time frame within this year, if we can, that still meets the bylaws requirements. I also wanted to point out that in response to the circulation of the minutes, I put forward an amendment to this timeline, specifically to make sure that it incorporates the on-air candidate cards and candidate forums with the opportunity for live listener call-ins, which are also mandated in the bylaws within the time frame and prior to the distribution of any ballots to members.
Teresa, for the stack.
And Vanessa to the stack, please.
Thank you, Teresa and Vanessa.
After Myla.
Okay. Michael, were you finished?
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Okay. Myla? Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. On the one hand, I would like to just say to the committee that those of us who attempt to follow the work of the National Board, that the National Board did pass a resolution asking for a timeline, and so from this committee, and that was some days ago. So committee members may have taken it upon themselves to start looking at what a timeline might look like. But I also agree with Vanessa and Minerva that, you know, we don't want to be blindsided and have a lot to consider. So I would say that we need to kind of get started on this and perhaps think about finalizing it at our next meeting. And if we have changes or would like to suggest a different timeline, that we communicate our wishes for changes prior to the next meeting so that we're prepared at our next meeting to present a finalize the timeline that we send to the PNB. However, I'd like to also, I'm sorry, Minerva, you had asked whether elections have ever been delayed in the past, and yes, they have. And there was at least 1 year where, for various reasons, the timeline wasn't strictly adhered to, but we did manage to have the elections and delegates seated by the proper time. And I'm done.
Yeah, I'm going to call in myself because I haven't spoken yet. I really want us to look at this timeline and just understand that once you do one thing, then you just kind of go through the rest of it. The key thing is, when does it start with the hiring of the NES? And then everything else falls into place. And I understand and appreciate Michael's concern about, you know, that there was that issue about the carts and all that. So that, but I think what we need to be talking about is when is it possible to start? When is the start date? And in answer to the question about previous from Minerva, if you look down and scroll down, there was a previous time when an election was postponed, and then there was another previous time when an election was pushed to the following year. So there are those two issues, but it becomes very complicated if you are extending another to the next year, because then it's very tricky about people self-extending their own terms or having LSBs that are half the size. So that's where it becomes problematic, and it also becomes problematic in issues of the democratic functioning of the network. I'm going to go ahead and call on Teresa.
I think I was next, but I'll defer to
Teresa. No, go ahead, Vanessa. Go ahead.
Okay. To answer Minerva's question again, yes, there have been several times in the past when elections were deferred, usually for cost reasons, because, you know, the network was not trying then or hopefully now to bankrupt itself in order to hold an election. And so timelines were altered, election dates were extended. That's happened more than once. And in terms of the process, so maybe we can look at what's been offered by Mr. Tanaka as a start, and then farm that out so that the members of this committee can have further discussion about it and then have something to bring back next week. But part of that discussion should also be the cost implications of trying to hold an election when it's been clearly established that we can't have one. We can't afford to have one.
Myla for the staff.
Yeah, it's Teresa and then Myla.
Yeah, I was looking through the National Election Supervisor's report, and seems like last year's election was very expensive. The election supervisor, for example, last year made $70,000. And not only that, but she had an assistant who I think made $11,000. And some of the election supervisors, like at KPFT, made $3,000. Other local election supervisors made $6,000. So, and one of the suggestions that was made is that we not have local election supervisors, that we just have the assistant to the national election supervisor. To me, I think that the election supervisor can conduct everything from home, and I don't think it necessarily has to be an 8-to-5 job. But the biggest thing is that the executive director has to insist now that the stations all clean up their lists and have that are all understood to be on the same page in updating the three lists, the paid staff, the volunteer staff, and the listeners. I think that KPFT had a problem last year and has had a problem for approximately 4.5 years because we have not had a program director that has dealt with our programmers consistently. And for most of those years, we did not even have a membership director. So it's been kind of dumped on our development director at the last minute. So I think that this could be resolved. At least it could be at our station. And I think that now that we have an executive director who I'm very proud of, I think that she could get us in order. And I think we could easily cut the costs of our elections to maybe $40,000. And I have put in calls to Sierra Club to compare.
Procedure.
I'm sorry.
You're the person who's timing speakers, but you're going over your time.
Thank you for calling to my attention. So that's my point. Thank you.
The reason I am is there are only 2 minutes left of the entire agenda.
Don't worry about it. Oh, 20 minutes.
Two minutes remaining for this item.
Oh, well, thank you. May I move that we...
Myla is still on this stack. Go ahead, Myla.
Okay.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Hold on. I think that Tariq is going to make a motion since we're limited on time. So,
yeah, I would like to move it.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I'd like to move that we add 15 minutes time on this topic.
What question, Chair?
Go ahead, Vanessa.
What time are we adjourning?
We are adjourning. It's a two-hour meeting, so 9 o'clock your time.
Okay.
Okay. And this is Minerva to the stack.
Go ahead. Minerva, we're kind of in a – did you have a point of order, Minerva, or was it –
And I had a question about the 15-minute extension. That was going to be my question.
Go ahead, Minerva.
Okay. Can we maybe extend this 10 minutes as opposed to 15, since we have other items on the agenda?
Do you accept that, Teresa?
I would say no, because this is the most important thing that we need to discuss, and this is what the PNB asked us to discuss.
Okay, so we need to go ahead and have a roll call vote. Go ahead, Myla.
Okay, Teresa.
This is whether or not we are going to extend 15 minutes.
Okay, Teresa.
Well, I'll just say 10 minutes, but I think somebody's going to have to add more time. I'll just let it say 10 minutes right now, but I don't think that's going to do it, so we'll see.
Okay, will you state your motion again?
It was just to... extend.
Okay.
10 minutes.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay. So is everybody okay? Is there any opposition to extending 10 minutes?
Let's go.
Okay. Hearing none, let's go.
Okay. Thank you. I believe I'm next, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Myla.
Thank you. I just would like to encourage all of the committee members, if they haven't familiarized themselves with the part of the Pacifica bylaws that explains the election process and the terms of delegates and PNB members, but there are strict term limits, and delegates are elected for 3-year terms, and there are no provisions for extending those 3-year terms other than being standing for election again. So if we do not hold these elections this year, there will be people who will be termed out and will not be eligible to continue sitting on their various boards as delegates. So I think it's really imperative that we figure out how to conduct these elections. And I would like to propose, you know, I was thinking that on the one hand, you know, this is a lot to consider, this timeline, but it is pretty simple. And if you look it over, I think that at the very least, we need to get started on it. So I would like to move that we send this proposed timeline to the PNB as a proposal. And that in the interim, we figure out whether it's accepted by the PNB, because ultimately it will be the PNB who makes the decision about whether to accept this final. So I'd like
Vanessa,
to move.
Sorry.
Michael, move to the stack.
And William. Thank you.
And Vanessa as well.
I made a motion.
Okay.
I'll second it.
It does not require
a second. We don't need a second. I found out. Okay. Can you all... Okay, I heard. Can you say your name? Can you say who's on the stack again, please?
Vanessa.
I believe I made a motion. Pause for. Oh, sorry. Never mind.
Vanessa's on the stack. Who else?
Michael Novick.
And William Hairwagon.
Okay, Vanessa.
I have spoken several times, so I will defer to the gentleman, and then I'll speak after them.
Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Well, I would prefer that we not vote on it tonight, as in the earlier discussion. I understand the motion being made to do so. If we do decide to vote on it tonight, then I want consideration of my amendment that I put in the email regarding the section, I believe it was September 1st through the 16th. I want to make sure that the candidate cards and on-air candidate forums are included in there prior to the posting of the information and sending out the ballots. But in general, I would prefer that we not vote on the whole thing tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael, would you be willing to copy and paste your amendments in? So we have what would be the text with your amendment in it and email it to the group.
I did so earlier, but I'll do it again.
Thank you.
Teresa for the stack.
Okay. I have William and Vanessa and then Teresa.
And Violetta to the stack.
And Violetta. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, please, William.
Thank you. William Hairwagon here. I hear people talking about the different voting classes. There's only two classes, listeners and staff. There's no division of staff into somehow two different groups. So this is in the current bylaws. That may not be what the New Day people want with their new bylaws, but they're not in effect. So according to our current bylaws, there's only listener members and staff members.
Thank you, William. Let's see, Vanessa?
Oh, I'm sorry. William here again. I still didn't get the proposal.
I sent you the timeline. I just emailed it to you, William.
What time did you
it's send like
it?
5 minutes ago. Maybe we have the wrong email address for you.
I doubt it. I'll take a look. Thank you.
Vanessa, go ahead, please.
Okay. So in terms of the motion to send this very drafty timeline to the PNB, it's outrageous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It seeks to rush the process without, it appears, most of the committee. Mr. Tanaka drafted it. I'm not sure who else offered input, but the rest of us, it appears the majority of us, are just seeing it tonight. Not enough time to process the information. We're having a discussion. The proper process, at least to try to correct what's gone wrong already, would be to circulate what's been proposed to the committee for us then to come back next week with some concrete suggestions. Maybe it's a Google Doc. I'm not sure how that's done, but for something that's so important, it's ridiculous to even propose that you take a document that appears to have been developed by one person with some kind of measured input by others, not sure who, nobody's owning up to that, and then send it to the PNB as a recommendation. That's outrageous. So, no, I definitely oppose that.
Okay. Thank you, Vanessa. Teresa and then Violetta.
Sorry. I have a point of order.
Yes.
Well, I took a look back at the email and I noticed that actually William Hairwagon is not on the distribution list of either version of the email that Myla recently sent. I think that's an unfortunate oversight.
Okay. Thank you. We've been working with the. All right. Thank you for letting us know. Go ahead, Teresa.
Are you sure on next? Because it was Vanessa, Michael, William, and then me. So did Michael and William speak?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's you and then Violetta.
Okay. I am definitely not opposed to us working on this tonight and voting on it in the future, because I have a feeling we're not going to be able to get through it all tonight. But I am not going to knock Aki for all the hard work that he did. And if you look at his proposal, it fits what was in our NES's report, and it also fits previous years where people just threw up their hands and said, we can't do this, and then they quit, and then we had a new election supervisor, and that person didn't work out, and then we got another one, and we got it done. So it's, I think it's definitely possible, and I hope everybody will leave themselves open to it. If you go to page 17 of the report, you can see that in 2018, the election cost $66,000. In 2019, the election cost $118,000, and then it continued on and cost even more. Last year's election was very expensive, and I think it might have been because the NES and her assistant ended up being the persons that researched so much of people's questions of their eligibility to vote. And so we really need to clean up those lists in advance, and we can save a lot of money that way. Also, I do want to, before I get off, I do want to question the do we need to have candidate carts, or at least the way we've been doing them in the past, and do we need to have on-air candidate forums? Other nonprofits that have elections, as we do, they don't, because they're not radio stations, they don't have that, and I don't know where it is in the bylaws that says that we have to have that. We could put all of the information about the candidates online and refer people to online. Just a thought.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Violetta.
Chair, I'm sorry, point of privilege.
How much,
Chair.
Just a second. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, so as the person who's referenced Mr. Tanaka's name several times, there was no characterization of him in a way that puts him down for coming up with the draft. The question I asked was, who did it? Who participated in the process? His was the only name that I heard. And then I asked what others. And so I don't know if somebody else offered their name. So it seems to be Mr. Tanaka and maybe one other person. So that's the context. It is not a put down. It's just inappropriate to consider something developed pretty much by one person, and that most of the committee is not even seeing it until today, right before, at the meeting, at the start
so,
of the meeting.
So, thank you, Vanessa. I just want to clarify for all members of this committee, you are welcome to send your proposals and your timelines. You are so welcome. Any member of this committee, particularly our national board directors, would have a right to please work on this with us. You know, send your proposals. Send it in writing ahead of time so that we can work together.
Sean for the stack, please.
I wanna check in. We have Violetta for the stack, and I want to check on where we are with our 10 minutes after Violetta. Go ahead, Violetta.
Okay, I just had a comment. I don't feel comfortable with rushing it, and there's no knock on the person who gave us something to start from. But I just question, is it realistic that we could raise enough money in a month to pay or hire a NES when you're talking about $70,000, $118,000, and things like that? I mean, we want to get the job done, but is it feasible? And the other thing is, did the PMB give us a timeline for us to give them this timeline? Did they say immediately?
Thank you, Violetta. How much time do we have left on this item, Michael or Teresa?
Two minutes.
Okay. Anybody else for this stack? I would like to propose, you know, I want to intervene. I think in writing up the agenda, it would have been better to put the timeline at the end after we talked about the cost because and how we're going to raise money, possibilities for raising money. So I'd like to hear from Sean, and then let's move on because maybe we can come back to this issue later on if we can find some time. Okay, or at our next meeting. Thank you. Go ahead, Sean.
On the question before us, in terms of sending this draft timeline to the PNB, it serves no purpose to do so now. The PNB does not have a scheduled meeting until June 2nd. We gain nothing by sending this to them at this point.
Thank you, Sean. Okay, so can we move on to the next part of this?
Chair, motion is on the floor. We need to vote it up or down.
Teresa for the stack.
Teresa, what was your motion?
Well, I'm going to move that we schedule a meeting for next week to further discuss this timeline after everybody's had a chance to read it. And then I would like to make that an amendment to Myla's motion to send this timeline to the PNB. So her motion did not say when we send it. So I would say after we meet and finalize it. So my amendment is to her motion is to send the timeline to the PNB as a proposal, and my amendment is after this committee meets to finalize it.
This is Myla for the staff.
Go ahead, Myla.
I think that's an excellent suggestion.
That's so, Myla, your secretary, will you please read the motion on the floor right now?
The motion on the floor is that after we meet next week, that we send our proposal to the PNB. I'll write it up as a formal motion, but I think that's the gist of it. And it's clear enough for everyone to consider voting on.
Madam Chair, could I be recognized?
Say your name.
This is Teresa.
Oh, go ahead, Teresa.
I think my amendment is her motion is to send the timeline to the PNB as a proposal. My amendment is after this committee finalizes it.
Thank
you. Okay, so I'm hearing three things. One part is, and Myla, I'm hoping we can come up with a motion that has both amendments in it, so that this body meet next week, which would be Tuesday, May 24th, at the same time, for 7 p.m. Eastern.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
That is not a good day for me. That is an election day in Texas. And
okay.
I'm working the election.
So I'm happy to entertain a motion, but I have to have a clear motion, and I hope people will work out something. you've got to make a proposal.
How about Wednesday the 25th? There's nothing on KPFTX except a KPFT Finance Committee meeting.
I'm not able to meet that day.
Okay.
May 31st, 2 weeks from today.
May 31st? Is that okay?
May 31st is a
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Bear with
Tuesday.
Me 1 minute.
It's empty on KPFTX.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, that's part one. The May 31st.
Madam Chair, maybe perhaps you would ask the committee if there's an objection to that.
I'm going to get the whole motion. That's part one. That we meet, that we develop a motion.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
I would propose that we take the amendments separately. The first one is that we meet again on May 31st.
Okay. Is there any objection? Okay. So not hearing an objection, that motion has been approved, that we will meet on the 31st at 4 p.m. Myla, did you get that?
Which is 7
yes.
p.m. Eastern.
Yeah. Then I'd like to suggest that we meet for the express purpose of finalizing our proposal for a timeline for the 2022 delegate elections.
Is there any objection to that part, that wording?
Yes.
Well, go ahead.
You're jumping the gun. We've barely begun to discuss the timeline, and you can't assume that the next discussion will finalize it.
Teresa, for the SAC.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I just suggest at this point that we vote on my amendment, which is to add the words after the elections committee finalizes it. That does not mean that we have to finalize it on the May 31st. And so this motion has nothing to do with the one we just passed, except that that's what we'll be discussing. So I would like to next vote on my amendment to the main motion, which was to add the
This is a substitute motion. This is a substitute. It's not an amendment. It's a substitute motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps
go ahead.
No objection, Madam Chair.
All right. So please read your substitute motion.
I move that we send the timeline to the PNB as a proposal after the election committee finalizes it.
Okay. Do you have that written, Myla?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that motion has been approved. All right. Anything else on this motion? Are there any more parts that we haven't covered? Okay, hearing none, let's go on to the next part of the agenda. And thanks, everybody, for being willing to meet on the 31st. And we're going on to cost-saving proposals. Yes, go
point
ahead.
Information. Madam Chair, did we ever discuss item number 5, which was only 3 minutes, which was a Pacifica elections update? Was there something specific
yes.
that needed to be covered there?
You did it. You did it. That was
okay,
you.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Okay, so now we're on 7. Okay.
Cost-saving proposals. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, point of procedure. We have only 54 minutes remaining till time certain, and we currently have over an hour of business. So I suggest that we might want to trim some time off this so we can get to the rest of it.
Do you have a proposal?
20 minutes instead of 30.
Okay. 20 minutes on cost-saving proposals. And 20 minutes on funding proposals. And then we have a little
yeah.
time for the election.
Yeah.
Okay.
Teresa for the SAC.
Is anyone opposed to that? All right. So we're going to go with 20 and whatever time is left for the election. All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Teresa.
First, I wanted to ask, was that Michael Novick that just moved that we change it from 30 to 20?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. So as to cost savings, I'm really looking forward to this because I think that we in Pacifica do not often look at cost savings, and I think that our cost of our elections have kind of gotten away with us. So if you look in that, you'll see that we went from $66,000 in 2018 to roughly $158,000 in 2019. And last year, in 2021, it was $149,000. And that does not include, I think, cost of any legal that came out of that situation. And that's just the delegate election. And I'd like to kind of have, if it was Michael or who it was that discussed the fact that we needed to have carts and we needed to have on-air candidate forums, I think that maybe we ought to consider cutting down on that or having everybody do a cart, but playing them all together, like one after another, instead of like one on every hour. I'm not sure that it's good radio, and I think that I know that at least in KPFT, if somebody didn't play it exactly on the hour, there were complaints, and there was a lot of, time-consuming checks that the election supervisors had to do to see if those carts were played at all. But whereas if we offered the option to all the candidates to do them and play them all together, then we might not have those complaints that need to be checked.
Go ahead. Who's next?
Violetta to the stack.
Violetta, go ahead.
I just wanted a point of information. How much did the carts cost? Were they very costly in on-air candidate form?
May I respond?
Go ahead.
I think if you read in the material that Aki sent out, I think considerable time was made. Like, I know that to do our, to do with the candidate cart, I worked with the LES, and of course we could not go into the building and have it done, so I needed to do it on my phone, which took instructions, which was paying this person to help it. I don't know what he was being paid, you know, $17 or $18 an hour, I don't know, to walk me through that process. And I don't think there is anywhere in the bylaws that say that we have to have candidate carts or on-air candidate forums.
Teresa, Michael just sent an email with that information.
Okay, thank
you.
I'll look for that. No, I'm looking for it now.
Yeah.
May I speak, Chair? Michael Novick.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Article 4, Delegate Section 6, Fair Campaign Provisions states, all candidates for election as a listener-sponsored delegate shall be given equal opportunity for equal airtime, which airtime shall include time for a statement by the candidate and a question and answer period with call-in listeners. I'm actually less concerned about the candidate cards than I am about the forums in which listeners can call in. Because it's not only about the candidates, it is about the listeners and their right to interrogate and understand more about what the candidates are putting forward as their view for the future of Pacifica. And I think that we must have those candidate forums with the opportunity for listener call-ins, the right of the listeners, in fact, that I'm concerned about here in particular. And I think that there is no cost to the station per se, because we're broadcasting 24/7. So, you know, the carts might go by the board. I don't think they contribute that much to when you hear 30 seconds of people saying something and there's an opportunity for a dialogue. But I absolutely insist that we must have the candidate forums under the bylaws prior to the ballots going out.
I'm going to put myself. Go ahead, Minerva, and then I'll put myself after you.
Okay. And I have to say that I agree with Michael. Because basically, with it being radio, the listeners should be able to hear what the candidates have to say, as opposed to reading something. And I can tell you, I participated in several candidate forums, and a lot of the stations didn't have representatives. And I asked, saying to myself, well, did the word get out that these forums were taking place? And I think that's something that's real important, and that would be one of the main things that this election committee would do, would be to be sure that the listeners have a chance to hear the individuals that are going to represent them at the different stations. That's very important.
Thank you. I want to just comment on, when I looked at the election, the reports, the two main areas for expenses had to do with, and I don't know you're all experienced, but it was like a nightmare for us with so many people not getting ballots and then so many requests for ballots, and such a complicated system for requesting ballots and getting ballots and requesting again and again and don't call back, and such a complicated system for nominations that, you know, you couldn't nominate if you didn't have it in your browser right, and, you know, and if you'd voted in the last election, maybe your browser wouldn't give you your email. And, you know, at KPFA, we had 6,000 members whose emails were cleaned in some way, because they just, and then they were sent postcards and they weren't able to access with their post. It was quite complicated. And I think having really strong member lists and refining the electronic process ahead of time, and if you have forums, you know, make sure that people understand that they can't be making false accusations about people without any kind of documentation. So those kinds of things, you know, we could have a much more cost-effective election with better planning. Go ahead. Whoever just spoke, please say your name.
This is Minerva to the stack. I don't know if someone else was saying something as I was speaking.
It's okay, Minerva. Go ahead.
Okay. And what I would like to say is I understand what you're saying, and it does come to the stations giving us a good list of the individuals that the information would be going out to, the listeners, so on and so forth. So in looking at this, what's the time frame that we're actually giving the stations to come up with a good, clean list so that we have something to work from? And along with that, how do we as a committee look at any programs that were used that's not working effectively and look to see what other programs we might need to use? Or was it just because the lists were so out of date that this information didn't flow like it should? And I think for the listeners and for anyone running, that we give them an actual, what I call a timeline or agenda expectations. This is what's going to take place. This is when you'll need to do so, you know, do different things. Because for me, I had to call around to get some of the information that I needed when I was running as a candidate. And I kept saying, it's got to be a better way. So, you know, since we all acknowledge that there were some things that didn't work, maybe a lot of things that didn't work, how do we as an election committee take the time to help get those things in place?
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate your saying that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a couple of possibilities are that we should encourage the formation of local election committees to assist the election supervisors and dealing with complaints. I want to say about the list that it is a requirement of the California Corporations Code that Pacifica or any nonprofit that has a membership organization maintain a current and accurate list of its members at its headquarters. And so quite apart from the election, Pacifica has to have that list to know who is actually a member. And it is an affirmative responsibility of the management at each station and the national management to make sure those lists are up to date and current. The other thing I want to point out is in the last election, there was a tremendous amount of turmoil because there were advertisements promoting the idea that people who had donated enough money could have a second member of their household have a membership, which required multiple efforts because not so designated in advance to revise and correct the list. I think that problem has to be dealt with in advance. If that is our policy, people need to know, and those lists need to be clarified well in advance of the election again. So I do think that those would be two things that could drastically reduce the cost that the last one entailed if the management actually carried out its responsibility to have a clean list and if everybody was clear on what it took to become a member. And so I think those would be two cost-cutting measures compared to the last election.
Teresa Allen for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Is she finished?
Yeah.
Okay, so the two, let me ask again, the two things for you are that we ask for an updated membership list, and what's the other thing?
Well, last time there was a tremendous amount of time was spent on going back over the list, and people insisted that because they had donated $50, they could have a second member in their household, basically, that hadn't been noted as a member previously. And there was a tremendous amount of work, I know, that went into that, going back over the list and revising the membership list kind of ex post facto. So the real requirement is that when you become a member, you have to specify that, and that's the only basis on which a household, second household member, is if when they make the donation, they specify that.
Thank you for that. That is a real challenge because, for example, we have been using an answering service to take all of our calls because we don't have a building right now. Hopefully, we will next month. I'm not sure that this answering service was instructed to always ask, is this a membership for one person or two in your household? I move that we ask the executive director to come up with a specific procedure for recording uniform membership across the foundation.
Carol, for the stack,
that's my motion.
Okay, thank you. I want to speak to that. One of the reasons why there's problems with the second member memberships is that it's a software issue, that a lot of people who donate on the websites or the databases are not set up to cover that if people are donating on the website. So it would cost, I think, KPFA like $50,000 to redo their website to be able to take that on. So that's not a simple, but I think that there are ways to still address it effectively and clearly, and it just needs to be a policy. One thing I would suggest, and I understand there's a motion on the floor right now, is that we all make suggestions about cost-saving proposals to be part of our work as the committee. That we all begin to write, because we've all been candidates and we've all worked in elections, and it would just be really helpful to have a list of all of, you know, our recommendations.
Good point. I'm going to go back to my motion. Maybe someone would be willing to facilitate that discussion and willing to accept proposals from us for cost-saving suggestions. Perhaps
okay.
Someone here would be willing to lead that discussion, and we could all, between now and our next meeting, send our cost-saving suggestions to that person so they could lead a discussion. So I'm going to step back from that, but I'm going to go back to my motion, and I think maybe I ought to use the expression, not instead of across the foundation, I should say from the five stations. So here's my motion again. I move that the ED develop a plan for uniform membership policy and procedures across the across the five stations, or for the five stations.
Vanessa, to the stand.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
I don't know, and I'm saying this because I don't know, if it's appropriate for the ED alone to develop such a message. That would seem to be more in the province of the election supervisor rather than the ED. So that really is maybe more of a question, especially a new ED who hasn't even gone through one of you know, these elections at Pacifica yet. So I just don't know the appropriateness of it. I mean, I know it's a recommendation to the PNB. We're not deciding anything. But having said that, I just don't know if it's appropriate, if there shouldn't be more voices involved in that process.
Madam, may I respond to that?
I heard Michael and Teresa. Go ahead, Michael.
And Myla.